Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Boy, ain't nothing like one of them old Reaction Monday parties. After a dub, that is, anyway. One of them old Mad Dog Mondays. We done knocked back a small bottle of Mad Dog each. I got the banana red. Ron over there got peaches and cream, because y'all know, one, it matched his hair, and two, you know, he's been known to be called peaches from time to time.
I don't agree with it.
Well, but you've been called that. I mean, we agree or disagree. I mean, there's the big voice guy actually put it out there. So I thought peaches and cream was the would be the way to go for you. So I hope you appreciated the extra thought that I put into that. Ron, I got to circle back to something, man. I don't like to do this very often, but I just want to circle back to something. And I really just want to do it, one, because it's the timing seems to be right, at least advantageous for me. But I really want to see where the fan base is. I want to see where the fan base is, you see? And if I'd have prepared a little better, I would have had Tyler pull the actual audio, but that's on me. But it's probably a month ago, right after the second day of training camp. I made the comment, and I was pretty confident about it. Now, it was taken out of context by some, but I was pretty confident about it, that Joe Mixon is the most gifted, the most talented running back to ever put on a Texans uniform. Now, obviously, that brings Arian Foster into the mix. And my point in saying it is, Arian Foster was an undrafted free agent. Clearly, he was not as gifted, anywhere near as gifted, as Joe Mixon is gifted. Now, he obviously went on to have three, maybe even four, tremendous seasons here in Houston, which were the best Houston Texans seasons that we've seen. And so, understandably so, a lot of folks out there that hadn't seen Joe Mixon, didn't see him with their own eyes, called me every name in the book, told me how stupid I was, and told me to pump my brakes a bit. I'm just interested, Ron, and I'll ask you, we'll ask the fans, 713-572-4610. Ron's got his eyes on that Twitch and that YouTube page over there, along with the text line. How crazy is it, after going 30 carries for $159, fell just a handful of yards short of his career high, carried the Houston Texans to a 29-point game and ultimately a division win versus what I think is going to be the best opponent within the division that you're going to play. How crazy is it now, on September the 9th, Joe Mixon is the most talented running back to ever put on a Texans uni? Ron, what you say?
Well, I mean, I still disagree with it.
Okay.
And I don't think it's crazy. I think it's crazy to one game say, hey, after one, baby.
That was a good game.
Now.
That was a good game.
Now what you got to say? It was a good game. Arian's had a few good ones too with the Texans. But, I mean, they're different guys, man. And Mixon's really good. I think Arian Foster is for the prime years, that like the time that he had, that little 4 year span or whatever.
If he would have got hurt, it would have been
he was absolutely ridiculous. And Joe's been really, really good himself. Like, I think for me, there was an argument that Arian Foster was the best back in the game. I don't think there's ever been. Is somebody popping popcorn around here or something?
I smell
is
it.
Just me?
Oh yeah.
Is this building about
probably Bajani?
Can we talk?
I mean,
about,
that is.
Way,
I mean,
I don't
where
mean get,
is that?
I don't mean to get off Joe Mixon here, but can we got to have a conversation about the most tempting smells. Like, almost, other than women's perfume.
That's popcorn, that's right? You smell that too, Tyler?
Yeah, I smell
I
was about to say,
oh, I yeah. I started smelling a while ago.
Know
Johnny loves him some popcorn.
I didn't know somebody had a burner
popcorn
on.
Popcorn with heavy butter is that scent is it'll get you good and pumped
that,
up.
That butter at the movie theater has been known to get away from me when they've given me my own ability to squirt.
Well, I mean, you've only shown me that video of that old boy doing it like in dramatic fashion four or five times.
I would have taken the bowl, and then they've got those individual butter ones that you get to squirt yourself. Around there, boy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. Anyway, but no. Listen, Joe was spectacular yesterday. There it is. Joe was spectacular
there
yesterday.
Is.
He played his tail off and was huge yesterday. But I mean, yeah, I will still stand right now by. I think Arian Foster is ahead of him in there.
Yeah, I'm gonna stand on Joe Mixon, man. No doubt. Right after this game, it's convenient, out of convenience, we're gonna talk about it today. I mean, here's the deal: is yes, the offensive line was tremendous, but another part of what was showcased yesterday was a big back that can run downhill and absolutely punish folks. A big back that can get bottled up inside and has the speed to bounce it outside and go get you five or six, if not turn the corner and get you more. A guy with great vision, obviously has some experience in this system and in these different schemes. I'm anxious to see the all 22 so I can see like what was it all outside zone? Was there some counter? Was there some G scheme type plays in there? Some power? We'll see what all was in there, but. I mean, just the power and athletic ability combination is second to none to ever put on a Texans uniform, and it was obviously on. It was showcased yesterday. Now we'll see if he can get into the conversation with Arian Foster from a season perspective. He's gonna have to put two or three seasons together before you even take it serious. He, statistically, from a box score standpoint, he's got a lot of work to do. But I just, when we talk about being a five-star athlete, for what it's worth, I know there's a lot of five-star athletes that have fizzled out. When we talk about being a five-star athlete, what we watched yesterday was as five-star as it gets. And if the Texans can bring that to the table every Sunday afternoon, this is a Super Bowl contending team. I know last week, Ron, I wasn't ready to have that conversation. After that Kansas City-Baltimore game, I said, I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit. This performance by Joe Mixon and the offensive line on Sunday, more importantly, the offensive line on Sunday, did it for me. I'm ready. This is a Super Bowl caliber team. I think it's realistic for fans and anybody involved to say, damn it, my expectations for the Houston Texans are for them to compete for a Super Bowl. When they're on this very difficult schedule versus last year, compete their ass off against the best teams in the league. Again, which are on this schedule this year, every one of those games, you should not be outmanned. It should be an absolute dogfight. Win, lose, or draw, it should be an absolute dogfight. You got C.J. Stroud, who showed what he can do last year, and all these weapons, plus Diggs, and now you've got a run game with an offensive line that has the ability to set the tone up front with this level of five-star back in the backfield. There's no reason this shouldn't be a Super Bowl or bust team.
It was crazy. It was exactly, to me, what the Colts probably hoped and planned to do to the Texans.
Yeah.
Right? Like if we look at it, like they have 46 offensive plays to the Texans 73. And then you see like pretty efficient in terms of how they were able to score. They put up 27 points in that game. Now they had a blocked field goal that helped them. They put up 27 points only having the ball for 20 minutes of that game. Would you say they had like what, three or four possessions in the second half? Like they didn't get the ball a lot. But a big key to that, and a key to slowing down Indy's offense, which I think Indy came in thinking, we're going to run the football and keep them off the field and get the time of possession. Now, that's what the Texans did. They had the ball 40 of the 60 minutes of the game. And even though it seemed like, you know, Anthony Richardson and their offense put up points, I mean, 27 points in 20 minutes of offense, they didn't have the chance to do more because that running game was so dominant and kept the ball in their hands. I mean, they were just having long drives where, you know, you're breaking their back.
Ron, the power of – I mean, this has stood the test of time, and it's the truest, realest thing in football. I don't care what level you're playing. If you can run the football, it simplifies the game for everybody. And I mean that as positively and respectfully as I can mean it. When you can run the football, the different looks the quarterback gets are very minimal. When you can run the football, the play action is nasty. When you can run the football, your wide receivers get one-on-one looks outside. When you can run the football, your defense sits on the sideline and rests. When you can run the football and you got a game in hand late in the fourth quarter or midway through the fourth quarter, you make it impossible for the opponent to come back because you just have the ability to chew the clock and ultimately put a knee in it. The power of running the football is second to none. It's the most powerful back-breaking thing that a team, soul-snatching thing that a team can do to an opponent, and the Texans now appear to have the ability to do that. So it's fun for at least a week. We'll see if it lasts for a month. We'll see if it lasts for a season. But damn it, it was convincing because it wasn't just a running back going out there making plays, bouncing outside, making something out of nothing, making guys miss 2 or 3 yards deep in the backfield. It was schematically things being blocked up the way they're supposed to be blocked up. It was physicality at the point of contact, at the line of scrimmage, and the O-line for the Texans road grading folks.
I mean, it was you were saying, well, I would love to see this. I would love to see an offensive line just once, just a couple plays, to have them move guys back so the running backs don't. You know, don't get hit.
Just give me 4 or 5 of them. Just give me 4 or 5 of them in a game. Hell, give me 2 or 3 of them.
They gave you 22 or 23.
Oh, I mean, there was, what was there, seven rushes of over 7 yards. I know there was about four rushes of 13 yards because Sean needed a rush of 14 yards to win a bet. And every time Mixon broke, he got tackled in a 13-yard game. Oh, four times, I think.
I'm sitting there thinking, Sean. That fourth down where D'Amico grabbed his things and went ahead and put them on the table.
Mm-hmm.
He put that hog on the table.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, well, I don't know what they're going to do here. And I'm thinking the Colts probably thinking the same thing. I said, I thought they could toss it and probably get in. They could throw it.
That had to be one of those. They knew exactly what coverage they were going to get. They knew exactly where they were going to throw it because they cut the field in half with the half roll by C.J. Stroud. They knew where they were going from the jump. That had to be one of those. Bobby Slowick looked at D'Amico and said, I got the perfect play. I know exactly what I'm going to get. Look, if I don't get it, let's call a timeout.
And then the Colts play with that loose-ass coverage.
Boom, easy. That's what they thought they were going to get. They got it, and they snapped the football. That was big time. On the flip side of that, a lot of negativity around D'Amico Ryan's secondary. Ultimately keeping the Indianapolis Colts in this game. Anthony Richardson had 3 throws, 3 completions for 171 yards. 2 of those went for touchdowns, I believe. But it's a lot of folks are worried about it, Ron. I think you're a little bit worried about it. I'm going to be honest with you. Talking about those 3 throws, the catches, the completions, I'm not real worried about it. I'm not real concerned. Mm. I think, look, I look at, and I'll walk you through them real quick because I know we're up against it.
You talking about just 3 that were completed?
Yeah, yeah, because I agree with you that the Adonai Mitchell getting behind, it was Stingley one time. I don't know what Stingley was doing, trying to undercut a route that wasn't there. I don't know what, it was a double move on Kamari Lassiter. He got behind him there. They were butt naked. That's going to be a problem. Like that could have changed the game, no doubt. Those are the ones you worry about. The ones that were completed, the 3 catches or 3 throws for 171 yards. I have a really difficult time getting upset about them, Ron. The first one to Pierce, you've got a true blue quarters coverage to that side of the field, which ultimately means that on that deep receiver, you got a bracket. Derek Stingley's high and outside. Jimmy Ward is high and inside, and you're bracketing that wide receiver. The one thing coming into this game that you never expected was a ball to be for the quarterback to have time to throw a ball 68 yards and hit a receiver in stride. One, there's not many quarterbacks that could do it. 2, you expect your rush to get there in time to not allow that to ever even happen, to not allow a receiver to run 68 yards down the field and catch the football. Look, it's a negative. There's no doubt about it. Jimmy Ward gets a negative, but he gets a minus in the grade. But that is I'm gonna do it in pencil because it's so painful to write. I've never seen somebody complete a ball 70 yards downfield versus that zone coverage. Is it a negative? Yes. Am I gonna rant and rave to Jimmy about it? No, I'm gonna let that one ride. The other Pierce catch, again, you're in position. D'Amico Ryan's talked about it in his presser today. You're in position. Pierce just goes up and makes a play. You got to make a play there, right? But I'm not like the inability to make a play. Okay, we can talk about that with Jimmy Ward. But he was in position. His responsibility was there, and the throw up. You got big 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", wide receivers. ultimately, that's going to end up
plays
happening.
Like that going to get 2-1 on the field.
Well, yeah, no, well, but here's the deal though, Ron. Like plays like that aren't going to win games. Like had they given up a bunch of rush yards and had a hard time stopping it. Like that was all the only problem from yesterday was the big balls. And ultimately, to me, the reality is what you pointed out. The only problem was the ones that he missed.
Yeah, there were three caught for huge yards, yeah. And then there were two others that were even more open than walking. The others.
They'd have, he could have caught. Deion Sanders that thing in the end zone. But the other one, Ron, the dig route, like Kalen Bullock, I believe it was, tried to knock it down. It was a zone coverage again. He tried to knock it down, undercut the route from the front side. He didn't get a hand on it and left him all the space in the world to run. And Jimmy Ward,
101 miles an hour.
Yeah, right. And look, that's you're gonna live by the sword, die by the sword. Some of those are gonna be tipped and properly picked, and some of them are gonna fit in tight windows. But that's just again, Bullock is right there to make the play, and he just doesn't get it done. Could he have stayed on his feet and maybe corralled the receiver after the catch? Possibly. But you don't want to take the instincts away from him. So I'm just going to tell you, man, I'm not at all worried about the play, the balls that were caught. Now, the individual guys, Stingley and Kamari Lassiter, like you can't jump underneath routes like that. Even if they are double moves, you can't jump. In that situation, you can't jump underneath throws like that. I think they'll learn from it. I'll be honest with you. I think with Stingley, it's something we're just going to live with. I think Stingley's going to be one of those corners that jumps underneath routes trying to get cheap picks and quick turnovers. Kamari Lassiter's got a way to go before he earns that right. He's got to know better than to jump on double routes. Yeah, double moves.
Derek can't do it without no help in the back.
Well, I mean, I just think that's something we're going to live with, though, Ron. I mean, in man situations, I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to do it. And you know what? He's going to get some cheap picks for us. But he's also going to get got a couple times.
Yeah. All right, coming up, as we said, 5 o'clock. We're out early today because D'Amico Ryan's The Coach's Show comes up as soon as we get done at 5 o'clock. But stay with us here as big Monday night football game tonight. And then it is week one, but, you know, hey, the concern meter around the league is jumping, and there are some players and some teams that are on it. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in on a Reaction Monday as well as a Mad Dog Monday here. We'll get to some of your calls, 713-572-4610. Those of you calling in, those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well as the text line, we appreciate you being a part of the show. Remember, we are out early at 5 o'clock, The Coach's Show. D'Amico Ryans will hold it down, so stay tuned and make sure you listen to that. So that's it right there, man. So stay tuned with us right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, I will get to some of you on the phone lines. Clint, I do want to go around the league. We've talked a lot about the Texans, but it was week one and the league started, and there is already some people, some teams. The concern meter is way, way high. I want to go through a couple with you guys around the league to see where your concern meter is. Bryce Young, boy, that was rough yesterday. My man Bryce was about 13 for 37. His first throw of the season was a pick. He threw another. And listen, this is a guy that I thought was the number one player. A lot of people thought was the number one player coming out of CJ's draft. That is completely shot. Where is your concern meter with Bryce Young in terms of being an NFL quarterback?
Well, I think it's high.
It's gotta be.
I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy here that has been in a dysfunctional situation for a year, and now they're off to a rough start this year, which has with an organization that's super fragile as Carolina is, as any team is when you have that, when you're firing a coach and you're losing a bunch of games and the owner's unhappy. You know, you start out and you have a rough first month. It's going to be hard for Canales to keep that thing on track. It's going to go off in the weeds and off in the ditch awfully quick. And Bryce Young, as a young quarterback, as an undersized quarterback that doesn't have the ability to stand in there and make these wild throws in terms of arm strength, and he doesn't have the ability to simplify the game and run the football downhill between the tackles the way we saw Josh Allen do, the way that Justin Fields can do it. He clearly doesn't have the twitch and explosiveness that Lamar Jackson. Like he is just very. He needs a supporting cast ultimately, and at the end of the day, he doesn't have that supporting cast. And now guys, the lack of arm strength and all of that stuff comes into play, and it's just a recipe for a disaster at this point in time. So the concern level for me with Bryce Young is really, really
through the roof. Because listen, to me when I watch him and I. I'm not going to sit here and say I watched a whole lot of that Saints game, that Saints-Panthers game, but I saw enough of it. And Clint, like, you don't see anything yet in all of last year in that one game. You don't see anything that resembles what we saw at Alabama and what many people and why he was the consensus top quarterback to come out of the draft that had C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson, the two guys we just watched on the field yesterday that went behind him. Nothing. We see that. And Clint, yes, I think the size may have something to do with it, but his comfort, he just doesn't even look like he belongs to be a quarterback, to belong to play on this level. It's almost, to me, beyond the size. It is just when you watch him, he just looks like this is never going to come about. I thought there was real fair explanations of the situation he went to. I mean, Frank Wright got fired back-to-back years in the middle of the season. They fired everybody, all that. We got to stop potentially using those as excuses and say, yeah, I know he don't have talent around him and all that, but it ain't looking this bad.
Looks bad. I don't think it's an inability. I don't think it's a lack of arm strength or a lack of size. Look, Kyler Murray, again, with that mess that's been Arizona, it looked good for the most part until he didn't. Yesterday, he looked good and was everybody was ranting raving when that about the Arizona Cardinals, right? And he's had MVP caliber seasons. It's not that his size or his arm strength or his playmaking ability isn't there. It's that when everything's dysfunctional around you and you don't have he doesn't have a superpower, right? And very few quarterbacks do, but he does not have a superpower to overcome the dysfunction, to overcome the lack of support. He just doesn't have that superpower. Whether that is an unbelievably cerebral player like we saw C.J. Stroud do last year, or it's the crazy athletic ability with the twitch and explosiveness of Lamar Jackson, or it's the crazy arm strength of Josh Allen and Anthony Richardson and these guys. Like yesterday, like that was not an easy game for Anthony Richardson. It was not a good game for the Colts. What bailed him out and kept him in the game was the superpower of Anthony Richardson. That's the only reason they were even in that game. Was the ability to throw it 68 yards, the ability to throw go routes, the ability, like it's the only reason they were ever in that game. And so he does not have a superpower. And he needs to have a supporting cast around him. It's a real Baker Mayfield vibe. It's a dysfunction will absolutely swallow him because there's no superpower. There's nothing he can do on any given Sunday that is going to be on a highlight reel.
But even Clint with Baker in that comparison, which I get it, he still appeared to be able to function. Playing.
Well, No, I mean,
he just hasn't looked like he has.
Well, I haven't watched enough of Bryce Young. Like, I didn't watch this game at all this week, so I don't know what the hell's going on.
He looks like
nothing
like the guy at Alabama. Nothing at all.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Is that protection? Is that lack of weapons? Is that play calling? Is that just his inability? Is that I don't know. I will watch it though and get a better grasp on it.
Because the offense the guy coming from is the guy who had Baker last year, and it just looks rough. He's got some more time, but it's just one game this year. But you combine it with everything, it's rough. Real quick, also concerned. What should be the concern meter of Russell Wilson keeping his job?
Huge. We've talked about that multiple times. Yeah.
They got to win. I mean, Justin Fields wasn't.
He wasn't great, but he affected the game with his legs. He made some big throws. He didn't turn. I don't think he turned the football over.
No, he didn't turn it over.
If a guy with that athletic ability can just manage the game and not hurt the team, it's just a matter of time before that big arm, that athletic ability starts to win games. And I don't know how, if you're winning games with that guy, I don't know how you make the move to go back. Now, Russell Wilson comes back this week, then maybe he'll get a shot. Probably will get a shot if he comes back healthy. But the longer he lets Justin Fields get comfortable with this supporting cast, it's going to be a problem.
All right, coming up, we'll hear from you. We'll look at what's going on tonight. Aaron Rodgers makes his return to Monday Night Football, where he got injured last year against the 49ers, the NFC favorite. We'll close this Reaction Monday off in style right here on The Drive.
When I came out of the darkness.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, on a Reaction Monday, it's good to hear from the people. Let's hear from you. A big win for the Texans. They are 1-0, 29-27 in Indy yesterday. The offensive line and Joe Mixon took center stage. Patrick, you had some thoughts on that O-line. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted Clint's evaluation on the O-line. I thought their run blocking was better than their pass blocking. I saw Laramie Tunsil get beat like a drum on one play. But I also wanted evaluation on Kenyon Green specifically, too, and see if he's going to live up to his first-round pick evaluation.
All right, appreciate the call.
Yeah, look, I mean, I haven't seen the All-22, so I haven't been able to nail down. I mean, it's a little bit of a double-edged sword here, because the reality of it is they were not as good as I expected them to be in the pass protection department. C.J. Stroud was forced to hold the football a little bit longer than I think we're accustomed to. The O-line, therefore, struggled a little bit. There were some penalties that really put us behind the eight ball and actually killed some drives and with Laramie Tunsil. So, you know, that part of it, I think, has to be taken into consideration. But bigger and more importantly, and I think a bigger picture for this football team and for all of us fans, damn sure, is that the ability to run the football as dominantly as they ran it is a huge step towards like Super Bowl caliber team. To me, it was the biggest question mark that was keeping them from being a Super Bowl caliber team and legitimately being in that conversation. Having seen the offensive line do that and perform with that level of physicality, and then Joe Mixon's ability behind that, both his physicality and his athletic ability, is very, very, very convincing. And so I don't have a grade for those guys yet, but I know it's going to be really high based on, I'll be completely honest and transparent, like I was hoping that we would see like a glimmer of what we saw yesterday by midseason. Like I was hoping to see, to let's say, I'll put a percentage on it. Like I was hoping to be 50% as impressed and as confident as I am right now. I was hoping to be there by midseason, three quarters of the way through the season with this offensive line. I would have settled to just, let's just get there. Let's just grow together, get more games under our belt together, and let Bobby Slowick figure it out. Let Joe Mixon come along. Let's just get there. And the O-line and Joe Mixon did it in one game. And so I don't have the grade. I don't want to speak on anybody specifically. I have seen a couple of cut-ups of Kenyon Green really handling, you know, the D tackle in his area that was shaded on him, getting up to the second level and just demolishing safeties or linebackers that were in his way. So that part of it is a huge step in the right direction for Kenyon Green. But as a whole, I can't answer the grade aspect, but very, very impressive in terms of what matters the most, which is establishing the level of physicality that it takes in this league to run the football consistently. And that's why I'm so, like, whether we're talking Joe Mixon or we're just talking about the general run game, like, moving forward until I get new evidence, I am bullish on that right there. What we watched translates in a major. Whether you're talking about Joe Mixon's ability or you're talking about the O-line dominating inside and outside, both sides of the field, in the red zone, in 4 minute, in between the 20s, it doesn't matter. That was a convincing performance. So whatever the grade is on all those guys, it's going to be high.
All right, Brian, jump in here. What's your thoughts, man? Thank you for jumping on.
What's going on, fellas? Y'all doing all right?
Not bad. Go ahead.
So, you know, there are still some things. I gotta jump off topic real quick. Last week, before Tucker came back from Stroh's, you had mentioned that Ron, you had mentioned that.
Hey, Brian, man, we ain't jumping about Kyle Tucker, man. Come on, give me your Texans thought, man. Come on. Let's stay on here with the
Texans talk. My Texans talk goes back. You did say Kyle Tucker was the best player the last couple of years. I'll leave it at that. But Texans talk, you can't keep that chain-smoking dude around. He's a rock and roll enthusiast. He's a yes, sir. He's not true to the bone. And then you got quinoa-eating dude who got lucky. He got lucky that we got this quarterback, that we got Stroud. It goes back to Lovey. I'm not even going to go back into that situation. But that win late in the season, right, we got lucky. And so you got guys that are just kind of playing the role and aren't true to the bone. I love the personnel. I love the coach. Petre's missing an open field tackle on Richardson. It happens. But those two dudes, you can't have this play-by-play guy who's the fan base is tired of it. You got a little bit of house cleaning to do, and then we'll be right on track for the long term.
All right, Brian, man.
Why do you have a problem with Vandermeer?
Vandy, huh?
Yeah, drove it on by.
Hey, Vandy's on. He's on cloud nine right now. I mean, this is Vandy's ready. I guess Brian didn't like it. He don't like that hype. That he don't like that energy that Vandy brings, huh?
He didn't like that energy, man.
I'm a fan of Vandy.
The Kyle Tucker thing. Maybe tomorrow, man. Give us your thoughts on the Kyle Tucker thing. Who's back in the lineup? All right, Larry, close us out, man. Go ahead, Larry. Big game. I know you was thrilled. I would be surprised if your ass wasn't in Indy yesterday. But go ahead, give us your thoughts.
Look here, so I bet when you walked into church yesterday in your fedora and your Harlem Knight pimp suit, man, and the church sat in that pew, man, and took that fedora off, man, I bet the pastor just almost started laughing up there at the pew like,
it was
what's
dark.
Going on with show, man? I know he was laughing. And then when they passed that offering plate around, he kept his eyes on you, seeing if you was going to stick them little grubby hands in there and get you an extra 20 out of there, man. Yeah. Look here. Before, Clint, you know, I know that y'all drinking that Hypnotic and that Mad Dog 2020 up there.
Yep.
And that we're about feeling good about what we saw with Joe Mixon. And I also know that if you say things enough times, you could get enough of these dummies out here to believe that you know what you're talking about. Now, I don't question your intelligence, Baytown Badass. But if you're going to continue to make these kind of statements about Joe Mixon being the best running back in the history of the Houston Texans, I would counter you with that the first time that Arian Foster ran against this same Indianapolis Colts team, he hit their ass for 231 yards and 3 touchdowns. So we know who the best back in Houston Texans history is. It's Arian Foster. Now, Joe, I love me some Joe Mixon because, like I told you yesterday, that physicality, that's the kind of running back you're going to need to be able to take some of that pressure off my quarterback. But if we're going to be honest about it, Joe is playing behind an offensive line that's coming together, and now that Kenyon Green is making us look like that he ain't going to be a wasted first-round pick, all we need to do is get old big soft Laramie Tulsa ass to pull them damn pants down and get out there and get his ass out there and block somebody. And, oh, yeah, Shaq Mason, I saw your ass, too, on that screen that Joe Mixon should have took to the house. Your ass better start picking them feet up, too. But it was a beautiful day for me, so, because I'm going to tell you something. Anytime you can walk around just in them panties in front of the TV and my boys win, it's a win for your boy in Stafford, and I'll holler.
I appreciate the call in your panties, I guess. Yeah. She walked around and had you a good time.
Well done. Look, I mean, and that's great pushback on the Arian Foster deal. It's
it
hard
went up
to,
and looked up stats for that first
game. I mean, look, the box score is going to be hard to compete with. My claim is not that he's the best running back in Texans history after a 160-yard game. My claim is that he is the most gifted, the most talented back to ever wear a Texans uniform. I say that understanding what Arian Foster's resume looks like. I did not know he went for 230 again and 3 touchdowns against the Colts in his first game against the Colts. Did not know that. Good pushback.
Yeah. All right, coming up behind us, remember, D'Amico Ryan's The Coach's Show. First time this year, it'll be every single Monday, 5 o'clock. The Coach's Show with D'Amico Ryan's comes up right behind us. And then Texans All Access from 6 to 7. And tonight, there is no Area 45 because we've got Monday Night Football tonight, Clint. And a big one, Jets, 49ers. Clint's MVP and Super Bowl pick.
Need him to stay healthy, boys. Need him to stay healthy.
Last year, they played It was four plays on Monday Night Football, and then his season was over. And I think the Jets and Aaron Rodgers are, if anything, interesting. They are interesting as hell, and they have a good roster and a good team on paper. I do. I hope he stays healthy so we can at least be on the Aaron Rodgers ride, however it goes with the Jets this year, because I do think we missed something with not having Aaron Rodgers healthy.
Yeah, you know, look, we're at a spot where I heard Bill Belichick, I think it was on with Pat McAfee and him earlier, where, you know, damn near half the league didn't pass for 175 yards yesterday or something like that, some crazy number like that. And there's a lot of young guys that are playing. There's a passing of the baton, if you will, with some older quarterbacks and younger quarterbacks. And it would be nice, at least for viewing pleasure, my entertainment pleasure, is for Aaron Rodgers to play well and be one of the top quarterbacks in this league and be in the MVP conversation, obviously, because I like to be right. But it would, I think overall, you got some young dudes that are playing, and it's going to be week to week. It's going to be boom or bust. It's going to be pretty some weeks. It's going to be ugly some weeks. And with the exception of about five or six guys, we need Aaron Rodgers to be in that conversation with Pat Mahomes and C.J. Stroud and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and all these guys. It would be, I think the NFL is better with him this year, with him playing well.
Yeah. As we there finish off with that, James Earl Jones, damn, rest in power, legend, 93 years old, and yes, I thought he was dead about 5 years ago, but he's been with us, apparently.
Legend, man, legend.
Yeah, he was. He even slid into Coming to America, too. Had a little role in there, so that was the last thing he did, but rest in peace, but... congratulations. Texans 1-0. Big road win in the division against the Colts. Huge win for them. They'll get ready for the Bears, and we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. Texans Ticket Tuesday, and a big day on the station overall where a lot's going on. So stay tuned and stay with us tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 610. D'Amico Ryan's coming up right behind us. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I'm Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Not in front of the kids.
Oh, sorry.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata.
What's the rest of that main song?
Hakuna it Matata. It means no worries.
Yeah, there you go. She'll sing that part of Hakuna Matata. She'll
for
repeat it like
the
that.
Rest of your day.
Yeah, that's it.
Our problem-free
philosophy.
Hakuna Matata.
Yes, James. Yes. My baby girl sings the hell out of that in the back seat. Boy, that is awesome.